yeah, beautiful. The sounds of Franco Lokonyomi, Anna Mamashi. Brings us only 15 minutes past 8 a.m. A very good morning. You're listening to the Mirai Breakfast Show, and this is where the nation's big conversations begin every morning. Welcome to the last hour of the Mirai Breakfast Show.
Well, we continue with the nation's big conversations today, the 27th of April 2026. Now, malaria remains one of the leading causes of illness and death in South Sudan, especially in hard-to-reach areas like Pibor, where conflict, flooding and limited access to health services continue to put communities at risk.
That's right. Now, at the same time, challenges such as malnutrition, limited healthcare service and weak infrastructure are placing additional pressure on already vulnerable populations.
Well, this morning we speak to the County Health Coordinator in Pibor, Dolly Patrick Oleo, to better understand the realities on ground from the fight against malaria to the broader health and nutrition challenges facing communities.
Yes, Dolly, welcome to the Mirai Breakfast Show.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Dr. Dolly Patrick. I work for 4Africa, an organization. Basically working in Pibor, but basically we have our presence in Pibor, which is a main focus here, and we also in Naram Baragrazal, Awil East and West. We have also implementing projects there of health and nutrition, food security and livelihood, and also water sanitation and hygiene.
Right, so, and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, we just want to make a bit of correction. You're, of course, working with 4Africa,
yes.
And you're not the county coordinator.
I'm the county coordinator for Pibor.
For Pibor, yes. Okay, yes. So you double as, of course. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, let's begin. Malaria is described as one of the top causes of sickness and death in South Sudan. How serious is the situation in Pibor specifically?
Thank you very much. Looking at the context of Pibor, you know, Pibor is one of the areas usually affected with the issue of climate change, flooding. We see flooding. And basically, when you see flooding, this contributes to us breeding grounds for mosquitoes to breed. Because of that, it puts already a pressure on the community or on the population, looking at the fact that because we will have a lot of cases of malaria also arising from that kind of area. That's why we have already been putting a lot of efforts on ground to ensure that even the vulnerable communities are reached with the health and nutrition services.
Right, and we also want you to paint us a picture. Like you said, very many people get infected with malaria, so especially children under five and pregnant women. What does this reality look like on the ground, malaria killing so many people?
Yeah, one thing about malaria is its timely detection. As long as it is not detected early, it is going to put a lot of pressure, and also that's where we see a lot of lives being claimed by the malaria. But as far as if it is able to be detected earlier and then we have timely treatment, then we'll be able to save lives.
Yeah.
But looking at our environment or our communities, you see most of the people are nomadic pastoralists. Today somebody is in this place, next time is in another area.
Right.
That makes the things very complicated. However, you know, with the Ministry of Health, since 2017, we have established what is called the Bomber Health Initiative. These are workers who are deeply in the community, they are integrated within the community. So we are actually leveraging on them to be able to address such scenarios so that we'll be able to reduce the childhood death in those areas.
Yes, and I was about to ask you, what really makes the control of malaria very difficult, apart from them being pastoralists and moving from one place to another? What are some of the other factors?
One of the factors is, one is the endemicity of malaria. This malaria, South Sudan happens to be one of the areas, the sub-Saharan region, and the disease burden is very heavy, number one. Number two is, you know, there are a lot of things that contribute. If you are not able to do vector control, it puts a lot of pressure because we are breeding, the parasite, the mosquitoes are breeding, and that creates an environment for them to breed and also affect the community.
Right.
Yeah.
And how do the seasonal changes, you spoke about, you know, climate change and the floods. So how do the seasonal changes, especially floods, affect malaria transmissions and response effects?
Okay, thank you. You see, the transmission cycle usually increases during the rain periods. But that does not mean that malaria is not there during
the dry season.
Mm-hmm. But the peak usually rises during the rain season. Mm-hmm. And looking at the fact that when it rains a lot, then we have a lot of water loggings around, and this creates a breeding ground for the mosquitoes to breed and also cause a lot of transmission within the community.
Yeah.
Let's talk about awareness. How, when it comes to awareness on malaria, how are people aware in Pibor about the dangers of malaria and how to even protect themselves?
Yeah, we create awareness at the facilities. Just to give us a trend, we see last year, as a snapshot, for January to December, we had around 186,755 people seen from the OPD, and almost 58% of the people seen at the outpatient consultation unit are malaria cases. So you see, almost contributing to 58%, which is heavy compared to other diseases. So the awareness where we usually take advantage of one is the outpatient consultation area. We conduct awareness for the people, and also using the Boma Health structures, which are deeply also integrated in the community to be able to raise awareness. However, also days like the World Malaria Day, which we are looking today, I was trying to look at the theme of this year, mm-hmm. and it talks about driven to end malaria. Driven to end malaria, and say now we can. And now we must.
Mm.
Now we must because of a lot of lives that are lost because of malaria.
Mm.
It is something that can be prevented if a lot of efforts are put in place. And it's a call to a joint effort.
Mm.
We have to. It doesn't mean that it's only people in the health facilities or the doctors alone. It is cross-cutting. It goes to the stakeholders also.
We've seen in some states this distribution of mosquito nets as a maze, of course, to prevent malaria. Is that happening in Pibor?
Yeah. Before I came, we were able to had also engagement meetings with the State Minister of Health to actually kick off with the mass distribution of the mosquito nets. It is something that is happening, I think, countrywide. We're receiving 9.5 million mosquito nets that have been given also to the country to be distributed.
Mm.
So it's a good effort.
Are they used properly? Because some months ago we used to hear rumors, people fish with them, farm with them, I don't know.
They have not started the distribution.
Mm.
But I think one thing that we must do is that as the nets are distributed, there must be also an awareness on how these nets must be utilized.
Right.
Because we have seen a lot of misuse mm-hmm. of the mosquito nets, and at the end it does not address really the contributing factor of malaria spread.
Right. Yes. And speaking about the rainy season and how difficult the terrain can become, the roads are impassable, how do you access the most remote places?
For us, as for Africa, the Pibor is really... the context is different, especially when it starts raining like this, it's very difficult to access health facilities. And also the distribution of the health facilities are sparse. So one of the avenues that we are really taking advantage of is the community structures. I mean the community structures like we have what is called the Boma Health Initiatives, the Boma Health Workers.
Right.
We have them in Pibor, we are supporting eight bombers and 72 Boma health workers. And we provide them with the medication. We train them so that they can be able to treat the children under fives within the communities. Because you know that the burden is usually heavy for children under five and the pregnant women. So if we're able to do that, then we're able to also reduce the infant deaths. And also we train them that if they're able to recognize what is called a danger sign, danger sign means that when you reach to this level, it means that you cannot manage and you have to be able to trigger a referral pathway so that a child can be able to link to a nearby facility to be able to access the health services within
well,
that respective.
Dr. Patrick, alongside malaria, malnutrition also remains a major concern. How closely these two issues linked together in Pibor?
Thank you. Malaria and the malnutrition, they are linked in a way that, you know, the moment you become malnourished, your immunity is already affected. It's compromised.
Mm.
And because of that, there's a lot of exposure to risks of malaria. Mm. And whenever you get also malaria, there are chances that the mortality will might increase. And because of that, we work as we conduct integrated services. Integrated services means that even in the community structure, we do both health and nutrition. And when we come also to the health facility level, we also do health and nutrition so that we can be able to track children that are malnourished or screen them. And whenever we identify them, we link them to access the right services so that we are able to minimize the gaps, especially in the referral.
Let's talk about the availability of medicines in Pibor. We hear this outcry of most parts of the country not having medicines. Is that the same case as well in Pibor?
Yeah,
for malaria treatments.
Yeah, you know what puts the stockhouse of medicine is the pressure, the burden of malaria. I told us that like last year, it's almost 58% of the outpatient consultation, and this is something that is cross cutting not only in Pibor, but it's all over. That means that the consumption of these commodities becomes higher in those particular areas. And we have also experienced those kind of stockouts, but also with the support of the ministry and our partners like the UNICEF, WHO, we're able to work hand in hand to ensure that also we get those supplies within the facility. However, also through fundraising, we do internal fundraising. You know, sometimes we have shortages, you know, with the donor fatigue. What we do is we do internal fundraising to be able to access some supplies through our donors.
All right, looking ahead, what are your top priorities to improve both malaria response and nutrition outcomes in Pibor?
I think one of the things we are looking at is working hand in hand with the county health department to be able to, one, strengthen the community structure, the Boma health workers. If we're able to strengthen that, then we'll be able to reach out to the children in hard-to-reach areas. That is number one. Number two is, you know, we are doing now, there's a mass distribution of nets also by the Ministry of Health and also supported by the State Ministry and the other partners, is to ensure that these nets reach to the right people. And the people must be mentored on how this can be used, not just giving them and handing over to them. Another thing also is strengthening our referral. Most of the things we see that the causes of the death is because of sometimes delayed referral. And you know, we have in a myth in a society that malaria is just a small thing. Maybe I can go and get medicine from somewhere. They try to undermine the malaria, and that is one of the reasons why we are seeing a lot of death. Because somebody comes at the time that this disease is really too late. And sometimes even you are trying to resuscitate or trying to save somebody and somebody is already dying. It's something that the awareness is not only on the preventive, but also for the community to develop what is called the early health-seeking behaviors. Okay. At the moment you realize that you are not feeling well, you must be able to seek medical attention.
Dr. Patrick, as we conclude, what is your message to the communities and on how we can prevent malaria and improving child health?
Thank you very much. For the message is, one, is we must be able to initiate early health-seeking behavior early. The moment we see that you are not feeling okay, you must be able to seek medical attention. Secondly is, let us use our mosquito nets that are distributed. Whenever we receive them, we should not use it for other purposes, but let us really use it. Thirdly, I know it's something that is very basic, especially around our community. You can see water loggings around your home. It's something that you can be able to address so that we prevent the breeding grounds for the malaria. And also, a good thing that now we are having the malaria vaccine for children.
Under five.
It rolled out in 2014 by July. Now also the second phase.
Is it available in Pibor?
Yes, we have the malaria. So we have four doses. Five months, 6 months, 7 months, and on the 18th month, the booster dose. So we encourage mothers to take their children for immunization at the nearby health facilities so that we can be able to prevent
malaria. Thank you very much, Dolly Patrick Oleo, County Health Coordinator of Pibor. Many thanks for your time indeed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mirai.
You're listening to the Mirai Breakfast Show, and this is where the nation's big conversations begins every morning. Up next.